It's the dictionary.
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 Hey, word nerds, how you doing today? What's going on? I am recording this on April 15th, 7:06 a.m., and that's all I got. Show's over. No. Let's talk about some words in this wonderful episode, starting with the word exemplary. Let's see, this is tagging on to, we had exemplar at the end of the previous episode, which is an ideal model, typical or standard specimen, an idea. So, what's exemplary? It is an adjective from circa 1507. By the way, it is spelled E-X-E-M-P-L-A-R-Y. 1A, serving as a pattern. So this is like, oh, this is the standard thing. You can use it as a template, as a pattern. It's exemplary. Yeah, I didn't know about that one. 1B, deserving imitation, and the synonym is commendable, as in, his courage was exemplary. There's also, we got more, this one's a little bit odd to me, deserving imitation because of excellence, as in, they serve exemplary pastries, and I want to go to there. Okay, this is interesting. That line, they serve exemplary pastries, that is a quote from G.V. Higgins. That seemed like such an innocuous example. Didn't really seem like a quote. They serve I gotta know. I gotta know. Who, why, what was he talking about? He or she, I don't know. They serve exemplary pastries. Now, here's the thing that's confusing me. It seems like, I mean, when I hear they serve exemplary pastries or their courage was exemplary, I think of it as just being amazing. But this says it's deserving of imitation. Deserving imitation because it is so good. I don't really understand how the imitation part, that seems like oddly specific. I don't know. It's kind of weird to me. Is it weird to you? Okay, well, I mean, fine. If like something's great, then yeah, you want to imitate it. You want to copy it. You want to do it also in a great way. But that doesn't seem like that should be the whole point of the definition. The excellence seems like that should be the point of the definition. Okay, G.V. Higgins, I'm looking for this quote. Maybe I'll throw in Higgins. Higgins, that was the guy in Ted Lasso who was very cool and funny and played the bass. I'm not going to be able to find it. All right, whatever. Number two for exemplary, serving as a warning, as in, the synonym is monitory. Monitory? As in, given an exemplary punishment. The punishment is the warning. If you get pulled over because you were maybe going 5 miles over the speed limit, and the cop is like, well, you know, you've never had a ticket, you're good, I'm letting you off with a warning. This is an exemplary punishment, me pulling you over? Okay. Monetary. I don't know what that word is. You're being monitored? I don't know. Serving as a warning. This word has some odd definitions. Three, serving as an example, instance, or illustration. This one makes the most sense because if we look at the etymology from the previous word, it's from the word that just means example. So something exemplary is an example, a model, an instance, an illustration of that type of thing. exemplarily, that's an adverb, exemplarily. This punishment was done exemplarily. Exemplariness, that is a noun. Exemplarity, that is also a noun. Exemplarity. Whoa, this word has some fun versions. Yeah, there's no additional etymology. It's got some odd definitions to me. Maybe they're not weird to you. Feel free to let me know what you think. Okay, I need to make a sound effect. What am I gonna do? I'm gonna go... And one, and two. The next word is exemplification. Noun from 1510, 1A. The act or process of exemplifying. That's going to be our next word, exemplify. 1B, the synonyms are example or case in point. Yeah, it's all about examples. Number two, an exemplified copy of a document. So if you copy a document, then it is an example of that document, and it would be an exemplification. Well, let's get more information about this word. One and two and three and four. Exemplify. Transitive verb from the 15th century. One. To show or illustrate by example, as in anecdotes exemplifying those virtues. So those anecdotes are illustrating these types of virtues, these feelings, these emotions. They're showing them as examples. Anecdotes exemplifying those virtues. Well, I'll tell you a little story that illustrates an example of a virtue. What even is a virtue? It's like a thing. Trying to think of like a easy way. Behavior showing high moral standards. Okay. Is there examples of what is the true meaning of virtue? What does being a virtue mean? I don't know. I don't know if I can dig too far into this. In human practical ethics, a virtue is a disposition to choose actions that succeed in showing high moral standards. So here's an example. Here's a little anecdote that exemplifies a virtue. Well, a virtue isn't the point of this word, exemplify. The exemplify, that's the being, it being an example, that's the point of this one. To show or illustrate by example. Number two. I'm tired. To make an attested copy or transcript of under seal. And the thing that you are doing this of would be a document. You are making a copy of a document. Making copies at the copier. The exemplifier. And yet you're just the action of making that copy is exemplifying. 3A. To be an instance of or serve as an example of. The synonym is embody, as in she exemplifies the qualities of a good leader. She is a very good example. She embodies all of those good leader traits. What are those? Well, taking control might be one of those. And that's a pretty good start. So she is good at taking control and leading people. Because she knows what has got to be done to be an instance of or serve as an example of. 3B, to be typical of, to be typical of, as in a dish that exemplifies French cuisine. It's the most typical standard French cuisine dish you can think of, so it's a good example of that. Now, do you want to imitate it? Is it exemplary? Is this French dish exemplary of French cuisine because it's so excellent and then you want to imitate it? I can make that French dish. I can do that. I want to imitate it because it's so good and I want to make something so good. Okay. That's a similar etymology. do-do-do-do, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I don't know why I'm counting. 1 and 2. There should be an action with this sound effect. The next word is exempli gratia. 2 words. Exempli is the first word. Gratia is the second word. Some people also like to say gratia. Gratia. Adverb from 1602. And it just means, for example. Exempli, we know, is example. Gratia, though, I always thought it was, well, I guess I thought it was free, but I think that maybe it's for? Does gratia mean for? What's the free? It's something gratia free. I need to look at what this is. I'm not going to be able to find this. But anyway, I guess gratia in Latin, does it mean for? Or like something like that? Grace? What does gratia mean in Latin? Out of kindness, as a favor. I mean, that would be kind of free. I don't know why. Now, there is no etymology, so it doesn't say. I mean, but it's exempli gratia, for example. So maybe when you're reading a book or something and it wants to say, for example, you see E-G. I just put it together. I use that sometimes. I think there's another one with I. Is there another one with I? E-G. For example. That's just another way to say it. E-G. Exempli gratia. Oh, wonderful. I'm sure I learned that at some point, but I forgot. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. Next is exemplum. Exemplum, noun from 1890. Number 1, the synonyms are example and model, as in an exemplum of heroism. When he went and saved all the babies from the burning fire, and then he stood there with his eyes looking off into the distance and his big chin sticking out and his hands on his hips, he was an exemplum of heroism. Next, number 2. An anecdote or short narrative used to point a moral or sustain an argument. It's an example of something, an example of a moral story. One of those virtues that we were talking about before, maybe. Or here's an argument. We're trying to prove this thing, and so that's an example of this thing that we're talking about. So it's an exemplum. It's one example. The plural is exempla. That would be multiple examples. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Next is exempt. E-X-E-M-P-T. First form. It is an adjective from the 14th century. Number 1 is obsolete, and it means set apart. So if this thing is set apart from all the other stuff, all of its friends are over here, but it's over here, then it would be exempt. You would describe it as exempt. Not exactly the way that we use this word anymore, but I see similar. It's exempt, it's separated from all those. Number 2 is free or released from some liability or requirement to which others are subject. That was kind of a funky way to say that. There's 2 examples. Was exempt from jury duty. Also, the estate was exempt from taxes. So, if you didn't know what the word exempt means, let's just break that down a little bit. Free or released from some liability or requirement to which others are subject. So, these people are subject. They are required to do this thing, but you don't have to because you are exempt from those things. What were the some liability or requirement? You don't have to do that requirement. You are exempt. You're so good at math, you don't have to take the pre-math requisites in math. So you're exempt. Exempt from jury duty. I guess I got exempt from jury duty. I got booted out of there 2 times. Let's see. The word, it's from the Latin verb eximere, which means to take out. There's a group that all have this requirement, and you get taken out. So you are exempt. You are set apart from the group. There's more at the word example. We're going to make an example out of you by taking you out of the group. That's probably how it used to be used. 1, 2, 3, 4. The second form of exempt is a transitive verb from the 15th century. To release or deliver from some liability or requirement to which others are subject. As in, exempted from military service. This is the action of removing the thing, the person, from the group because they don't have to do the thing. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Why are we just changing it with numbers? The third form of exempt is a noun from 1670. One exempted or freed from duty. So this is the noun, the one who doesn't have to do the military service, who doesn't have to do the jury duty. They are the exempt. I don't know if I've ever heard this word used to describe the thing that is exempt. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. The next word is exemption, noun from the 14th century. 1. The act of exempting or state of being exempt, and the synonym is immunity. If you have exemption, you have immunity, you're immune to doing the jury duty. Yeah, the act of exempting. Number 2, one that exempts or is exempted, especially a source or amount of income exempted from taxation. When you make money, they put a certain amount of tax on it, but for some reason, there is certain money that you can make that does not need to be taxed. So you get an exemption, or that money would be the exemption. One that exempts or is exempted, specifically, a source or amount of income exempted from taxation. I'm trying to think of an example. Like sometimes there are certain things you could do with your job. Money that you make at your job doesn't need to be taxed. Maybe if it's like a trust or something, inheritance maybe, sometimes those are non-taxable. They're exempt. It's great when things are exempt from being taxable, taxed. 1, 2, 3, 4. Get it all the days. This is just what happens when you just let it fly. This is what improv is. You just, whatever the words that come up to your mouth, you let them out of your mouth. This is just what happens. The next word is exenterate. Exenterate. Transitive verb from 1607. To remove the contents of, as the orbit or pelvis. To remove the contents of, exenterate, get rid of those contents. Exenteration is a noun. So what are we talking about? Let's look at the etymology. It's from the Latin verb exenterare, which means, oh, this is fun, to disembowel. Yep, that you are removing the contents of, you are taking my bowels, my guts, all of my stuff inside of my system, you're taking them out. Huh, okay. And what else? Modified of the Greek exenterine from the X plus enteron, which means intestine. Hey, so yes, you put the X at the front of intestine and you are taking them out. Exenterate. This is tough. As of the orbit or pelvis. What orbit are we talking about? I think this around the eye is the orbital bone. So it would be, you're talking about taking your eye out, exenterate the eye? Or is there an orbit in your pelvis region? What's coming out? How are you taking things out of your pelvis? I don't know how this gets used in context. That's the thing that's confusing to me. Huh. All right. I don't know. 1, 2, 3, 4. Do some exercise. That's our next word. Exercise. First form, E-X-E-R-C-I-S-E. Noun from the 14th century. Number 1A. The act of bringing into play or realizing in action. The synonym is use, as in the exercise of self-control. Sorry, I'm just adjusting in my chair. The exercise of self-control. So you are realizing the action of self-control. Some people have a hard time exercising self-control. Overall, I think I'm pretty good at it. But not everybody. 1B. The discharge of an official function or professional occupation. The discharge of a function or occupation, as in exercise of his judicial duties. Judicial duties. Try to say that 10 times fast. Judicial duties, 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 judicial duties. Ooh, I really had to try. I don't understand this one. The discharge of an official function or professional occupation, exercise of his official judicial duties. I don't know. He's got to exercise those duties. 1C is the act or an instance of carrying out the terms of an agreement as an option. And this is often used attributively, as in an options exercise price. I didn't know that this word could be used in so many fun ways. The act or an instance of carrying out the terms of an agreement. All right, we agreed on this thing. You're going to do that, and I'm going to do this. We're going to do it at the same time. We're going to do a swap-o-rama, and those are our agreements. This is what we agreed on. We signed the contract, and we're now going to exercise that agreement. Okay. Number 2A, regular or repeated use of a faculty or bodily organ. Regular or repeated use of a faculty, like one of your body's faculties, one of the things that your body can do, or a bodily organ. So if you are repeatedly using your gallbladder, you would be exercising your gallbladder. Maybe when you are reading or talking or playing games, you are exercising this bodily organ up here, the brain. It's really good to exercise the brain. Make new neural pathways. Keep it from, what's the word? It's not solidifying. If you're not doing things mentally and physically all the time, your brain is going to, part of your brain eventually is going to be like, I don't need to really work so hard here, so I'm just going to not work so hard. And then that starts to die, and that's not good. You got to exercise the whole brain. Nothing but the brain, so help you brain. Okay, let's see. I think we are on now 2B, bodily exertion for the sake of developing and maintaining physical fitness, as in trying to get more exercise. I am trying to get more exercise. I was going to do some exercising this morning, and when my alarm went off at 5 a.m., I said, no, I don't want to. And so I stayed in bed for another half hour. Exercise is really, really good for you. It's good to condition those muscles. You got to do the stretching maybe beforehand and afterhand, and it's very good for you. Maybe I'll talk more about that in a bit. But yes, you got to do the exercise. Otherwise, you're going to have some bodily problems probably, and then you're going to have to deal with those, and that's not fun. You can make exercise fun. You can. I don't know how to do it. I haven't figured that out yet. But you can do it. Number three, something performed or practiced in order to develop, improve, or display a specific capability or skill, as in arithmetic exercises. If you are a kid in the school doing the math, or maybe if you remember back to the time when you were in school doing math, you were doing arithmetic exercises. It's homework, you know? Homework makes the dream work. You got to do all the math problems, and so you're training your brain, you're exercising how to do these things. It's a specific capability or skill. But we have another example, vocal exercises. These are things that I should be doing, but I'm not. Before I do this show, before I record, I should be doing things like ha 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 ha, wee wee wah wah, blah 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 blah, blah 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 blah. Maybe some tongue twisters. Judicial duties. There are some good tongue twisters that actors say, and I don't remember what they are. The blah 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 blah. Here, let's look for a good vocal exercise phrase. Let's do this. Five classic tongue twisters. Unique New York, unique New York. No, I want a longer one. A big black bug bit a big black bear. A big black bug bit a big black bear. She sells seashells by the seashore. Well, why is she doing that when there's already a whole bunch of seashells by the seashore? She's not going to make any money. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. Maybe I should be doing these more often. How much wood would a woodchuck? How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? I think I made up one of those, and I don't remember what it was, but it was something about a duck. The seven best tongue twisters for vocal warm-ups. Let's do this real quick so we can have some more fun. Let's exercise our brain and our mouth by doing these fun things. Yeah, I really should do this more often. And why is this page taking so long to load? We'll come back to you. Yep, those are some good exercises. Oh, you warmed up, Paige. What's he did? We did that. A proper copper coffee pot. Whoa, this, you see, it really is a good thing. A proper copper coffee pot. I would be proud to partake of your pecan pie. Six slippery snails slid silently. And there's descriptions of each of these. Like Peter Piper picked a pickled peppers. The breakdown: this tongue twister employs a lot of plosive P sounds. Benefits: excellent for practicing plosive sounds, speed, and rhythm. Tips: start slow, emphasizing each P sound, then gradually increase speed. Each one of these has breakdown, benefits, and tips. Fred fed Ted bread, and Ted fed Fred bread. These are fun. Fred fed Ted bread, and Ted fed Fred bread. Last one. Betty Botter. That's her name, I guess. Betty Botter bought some butter. I also particularly enjoy Toy Boat. Okay, what else we got for exercise? Number four, a performance or activity having a strongly marked secondary or ulterior aspect, as in party politics, have always been an exercise in compromise. And that is a quote from H.S. Ashmore. Party politics, those, these are the politics and the parties, not the fun dance parties, but the political parties. They have always been an exercise in compromise. Yes, you got the two people, the two groups of people who disagree on things, the left and the right, to put it bluntly and simply, and so they're constantly trying to compromise. Doesn't really feel like that's what's happening these days. They're exercising their compromise. A performance or activity having a strong, marked or marked secondary or ulterior aspect. Okay. 5A, a maneuver, operation, or drill carried out for training and discipline, as in naval exercises. that's when you're working on your stomach and your belly button, and you squeeze your belly button to make it sing a song. Those are your navel exercises. No, the navel exercises, these are the exercises that the people in the Navy are doing. Swimming, beach volleyball. 5B, this is plural. A program including speeches, announcement of awards and honors, and various traditional practices of secular or religious character, as in commencement exercises. We must commence with the exercises of the commencement. I don't really know that one at all. Okay, what's the etymology say? This is from the Latin verb exercitare, which means to train or exercise. From exercere, which means to train or occupy, from the ex prefix plus arcere or arcere, which means to enclose or hold off. Enclose a thing, hold it off, but then the ex means out. So it's not being held in anymore? I don't know. There's more at the word arc, A-R-K. Yeah. It's now time to pick a word of the episode. I don't know what I'm going to pick. Let's find out. Let's reread the words. Exemplary, exemplification, exemplify. Exempli gratia, exemplum, exempt, exemption, exenterate, and exercise. Well, I believe that this podcast is an exemplification of maybe something that should never be done. But I think I'm going to pick exercise as the word of the episode because I am trying to be better about exercising. It's very good for your body. But I do want to point out that I think what a lot of people do is for example, if somebody is trying to lose weight, they think that they have too much weight on their body and they would like to lose weight for whatever reason that's very personal to them, they may start exercising. That's a good place to start, but I think especially if you're trying to lose weight, you really, 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 really need to do diet first. I mean, no matter what the thing is that you want to change in your body, lose weight, get more muscle, something like that, I think you got to start with diet because you are what you eat. If you are eating a bunch of crap, and I have said this many times before, if you're eating a bunch of crap, your body is not going to process it right. It's not going to know what to do with it. You might think that it's working fine because that's all your body knows. And then if you go to eat healthy food, your body might freak out a little bit until it gets adjusted, but then it's going to be like, oh, wait, yeah, this is what I need. These healthy things are, this is what I need, so I'm going to shed this weight or make your muscles work better. But then the exercise, that's the important thing. That's the thing that's going to, like I said, condition the muscles, make them stronger, do the stretching, all that stuff. So a combination of diet and exercise is the best thing. Don't just keep on eating all of your crap, which we love the crap. I love the crappy food, but don't just keep on eating the crap and then just exercise and think that your body is going to be amazing right away. No. You need to do the diet too. Okay, great. Exercise is the word of the episode. I'm doing my exercises, just pumping the arms, and that's all my exercises is. Yeah. Okay. Enough about that. Let's now talk about a movie that I watched, and I believe I didn't even write it down, but I remember I watched Dune Part 2, and I don't even know what to say about these. I personally just sort of feel like this whole prophecy thing, it's just kind of like an insane, weird concept for a story. And I know that this is based on a book from decades ago, but like, I don't know. Do people look at it and connect with the character because they want to be the prophecy, or they feel like, what is the point of this? I don't know. And there was just he just had to keep on proving himself, and which it's like, what I want is like all the prophecy written out. They're never like, oh, well, you know, these are all of the steps that he needs to take to prove that he is the prophecy. That's kind of what this whole movie is all about. It's just him proving himself over and over again that he is this prophecy, the prophesized one who's going to lead them to paradise or something. But never once are they like, do they explain to the audience, these are like the 30 different things that he has to do. They keep on adding more and more and more. And it's like, I just want to see it all written out. But they didn't do that. And I don't know. I just have mixed feelings about this whole story in general. We are going to see in like a couple of weeks, I'm going to rewatch the first Dune from 1984, 40 years ago. And I'm going to see if I have the same feelings or what. It's a very different telling of the same story. It's just earlier, and it's less expansive and cheaper. Relatively cheaply done. Anyway, I don't know. That was the movie that I saw. And of course, I'll go see the next one. I'm curious to see what they do with this. But, you know, it's I don't know. I gotta sit with it. I want to rewatch it. And I had so many comments and jokes and questions as I was watching it. Okay, I gotta stop talking. I gotta go to work. I'm already at work. I gotta do work. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye.